Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to our worship service this morning. As you can see, we got a lot going on. So we'll go through the announcements and then we'll open up with a word of prayer. Please remember that the fellowship meal after the morning service, please stay with us and fellowship with us. Plenty of food in the back and all, so we would like for you to stay and just fellowship with us after the morning service today. Please remember tonight the evening service will be held in the original church. Next Saturday, December the 6th, from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. is our third annual community supper giveaway. See Tim Dudding for tickets if you want tickets or if you want to go out and visit people and give them tickets. We have plenty of tickets. Just let Brother Tim know sometime how many that you have given out and all, so we can kind of get a head count of how many plates we need to prepare. Sign up sheet for the side dishes to go with the pulled pork is located on the table as you enter the sanctuary. If you'd like to help with smoking the Boston Butts, meet at the church here Friday, December 5th around 9 o'clock. And we would certainly appreciate the help preparing those Boston Butts. That's quite a task, but it's a fun task. Just to watch Harold King try to wrap him in the knot. That's an inside joke, but it's fun to watch Harold wrap the Boston Butts in the tinfoil. And then Tim to show him, not this Tim. And then Tim said, no, that's not right, Harold. But,
got to be just right.
I've lost my concentration. December is Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Our goal is $1,500. Please be in prayer for that. We'll have the candles set up next week, and also have the envelopes out then. But if you'd like to give today, just designate it to the Lottie Moon. Next Sunday, December 7th at 9 a.m. is our fellowship breakfast. Please come and join us for that. And then Wednesday, December 10th at 6:30 p.m. is our fellowship meal and church conference. Sunday, December the 14th at 7 p.m. after the evening service is our birthday party for Jesus. I would like to remind everyone also that we will be collecting socks and blankets for the nursing home, so you can bring them then. And also we need to restock the food pantry. So you can bring food items so we can restock that night also. Thursday, December 18th at 7 p.m. is Standing in the Gap Men's Meeting. Sunday, December 21st, be our fellowship meal after the morning service. And then Sunday evening, December 21st, we'll meet at the church at 4 p.m. to go Christmas caroling. I'm assuming I'll put this in there. We probably will write Tim. We're not planning on having evening service. That'll be our evening service then on the 21st. So meet here at 4. We'll load up. We'll go Christmas caroling, and that'll be our service for some. Also, we will have Christmas Eve. We'll have our, I'll get this in the bulletin next week. We'll have our Christmas Eve service in the original church at 6. Is that at 6 p.m. on Christmas Eve? We had 28 in Sunday school this morning. We do have, if you did not get the new literature, we have the new literature out right there now. So as you leave, you can get your new literature for that. Whew. Any other announcements?
Just real quick, I have already bought the Boston Butts enough to probably feed 300 plus people. But as far as numbers I've already got, we've already got somewhere around 140 tickets or so that's being passed down. We'll try to have plenty. But if you'll let me know by Wednesday, because Wednesday's still enough time to thaw out Boston Butts by Friday, if y'all let me know. And so if y'all can, between now and Wednesday, they, by Wednesday night latest, please let me know how many you've got, so I know whether to do enough for 400 or 500 or however many. So you'll just let me know on that. I would appreciate it.
Thank you, Brother Tim. Any birthdays? If not,
tomorrow.
It don't count.
Tomorrow?
Yes.
Well, remind us next week. We won't ask him how old he is or anything like that.
I'm holding on.
Holding on. He said he's holding on, y'all. Any others this past week? Any birthdays this past week? Before we go to the Lord in prayer, we do want to, if you remember the Crosby family, Paul Crosby's mother passed away this week. I think her name was Donner, is that right? Matthew Donner, Miss Donner, I want to remember her family. And also a close friend of Tim and Amy's, her son was apparently died in an automobile accident last night. And Tyler Norris family, we need to remember them and remember Tim and Amy. They were real close with that family and all of them. So remember them. Let's go to the Lord in our prayers. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful, Lord, for the opportunity to gather and worship our Lord Jesus Christ today, Lord. And Lord, we do just want to lift up the Norris and the Crosby family, Lord. We know it's difficult and grieving times when we lose loved ones, Lord, but especially during the Christmas season or Thanksgiving season, Lord, it can be extremely difficult, Lord. We just want to lift those families and their friends up to you today, Lord, and Lord, just know that you are with them, Lord, that you will comfort them, Lord, and be with them, Lord, that as we even talked about in Sunday school this morning, Lord, you are and you alone are our strength and our refuge and our security, Lord. And we just want to, as we talked about, lean on your everlasting arms, Lord. Lord, but we do just want to lift up this worship service to you today, Lord, as we begin with these songs of praise, Lord, these hymns, these Christmas hymns, Lord. And as we decorate our Christmas tree this morning during the service, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that all these things we do with a heart of love and a heart of thankfulness, Lord, not to bring glory or attention to Wigan Baptist Church, Lord. We do want things to look nice, and they do, Lord, and start the Christmas season off on the right foot, Lord. But we do these things, Lord, to bring honor and glory to you, Lord. Lord, also all the activities that we have going on this December, Lord, we just pray, Lord, that your blessings will be on them, Lord. We do them, Lord, to once again to help people, Lord, and to just bring glory and honor to you. Lord, I know Tim's struggling this morning, Lord. We just lift him up to you, Lord, as he leads us in your word today, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that you'll be with him, Lord, and that you'll be with all of us, Lord, and that we have truly come, Lord, to worship our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. This morning we'll start with hymn 88, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. If you can please stand. Let's all sing together.
Joyful on ye nation high. Torrey Hill will be here in 177. There's just something about that name. Tradition at Wigan Baptist, we all together decorate the creek, the tree. Anyway, it's that time, so if we play hymn 87 and sing together Joy to the World, let's all come and take part in decorating the tree.
Thank you. take your Bibles this morning and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Thought with the Lord's Supper this morning, we would go back to 1 Corinthians 11 to see Paul's instructions on taking of the Lord's Supper. We just celebrated Thanksgiving Thursday, and I know we have a lot to be thankful for as Christians, but the greatest thing we have to be thankful for is our salvation. And in just about 4 weeks from now, 4 or 5 weeks, we'll be celebrating our Savior's birth, who came to die on the cross for our sins. And as we study the Bible, we realize that there are two ordinances that were both commanded by our Lord and Savior, but also that were shown to us by example from Him. And the first one is baptism, and we believe as baptism, you don't get sprinkled when you're a baby, because you don't make any decision in that. Your parents did, right? We believe that when somebody comes to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, places their faith and trust in Him, and asks for forgiveness of their sins, we believe that that person is saved, and thereby next step of the walk in a believer's life is to be biblically baptized. Now, you say, well, you know, what about people who don't get baptized? Are they going to heaven? I believe so, because the thief on the cross, they didn't take him off the cross so he could go get baptized, right? He died on that cross. He was not baptized. But let me explain something to you. I do believe that if you refuse to be baptized after you are saved, you are in direct violation of the Lord. And you're not starting your walk out with the Lord in a proper way, because He told us to do that, and so we believe that. But the second ordinance that we celebrate as Baptists is the Lord's Supper, which we will take of this morning. Paul had given the church at Corinth instruction on the Lord's Supper before. We know that He had taught them that the Lord had established the Lord's Supper at the feast of the Passover meal that He celebrated with His disciples, that we know was the Last Supper, right? And so then shortly thereafter, He would be crucified for our sins. Well, if we just jump right in this morning, I know we're kind of pressed for time, but that's okay. Chapter 11, verse 17 says, "Now, in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. Or first of all, when you come together as a church," remember that is a group of people, not a building, right? They come together as a church. They weren't doing it as a church. And he says, "I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man or woman, right, examine himself or herself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. And the rest I will set in order when I come. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, as we come together today, Lord, for worship, for celebration, Lord, for thanksgiving, Lord, just for praise and worship of you. Lord, I pray, God, knowing that you have provided everything we need, but Lord, you still give us instructions. And Lord, this is one thing we are instructed to do. Lord, not just to come together to meet fellowship, but Lord, to truly worship you and proclaim who you are to those around us. So Lord, this morning as we gather here, and Lord, as we take of the Lord's Supper, I pray, God, that you would bless it in our hearts and minds, but Lord, I also pray that you would bless it in our actions towards you and towards those who are around us. Lord, lead us and guide us as only you can. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, first we see the problem in the rebuke by Paul in verses 17 through 19. He says, I do not praise you since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. The worst thing a church can do is come together under the pretense of meeting with the Holy Spirit and act like fools. Amen? Because we paint a bad picture to those who might be new Christians or people who may not be saved at all. So when we come together, we are supposed to be what? The church. That's what Paul calls it. Not the building, but the people are come together as a body, to be in one, to be in unity, to get along with one another, to do what is right biblically. And so these people were coming together, and Paul said, listen, I'm paraphrasing, you're not even coming together for the right thing. You're not doing it properly. It's not that you just got off course a little bit or you made a mistake, because we all make mistakes. These were things that were being done purposefully. But how many times is the church guilty of doing things wrong on purpose? And I say church, meaning us as individuals. We can be guilty too. These people were coming together. They weren't coming together to be better. They were coming together for the worse. This church had a lot of problems. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12, Paul talks about how these people, some of them followed Cephas, some of them followed Paul, some of them followed Christ, some of them followed Apollos. So they had divisions already among them. And it didn't matter. What mattered was that they focused on Christ. It wasn't who shared the gospel with them first or who watered them. It was God who gave the increase, and so they were there to worship God, not to have divisions and disputes among themselves about who's who, right? But oftentimes we can get caught up in that too. Well, Hebrews 10:24-25 says this. This is the purpose for the church coming together. And hear me out on this as well. So this is what the writer of Hebrews says. He says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Ooh. Can I make an observation? If you leave church aggravated, somebody wasn't doing their job. Amen? If you come to church and you leave feeling worse than when you came, somebody didn't do their job. Amen? The purpose of the church is for us to build one another up, to lift one another up, to stir one another up for a purpose, and that purpose is good works. Not sitting back seeing who will do for me, but for me to get in and do for them. Because Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve. That's the model of the church. Let's go on, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Well, it doesn't matter if I go to church on Sunday nights or Wednesday nights. What did that verse say? Come on. So don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Right? I understand things happen. People get sick. People get hurt. I can't be there. That's reasons. But then most of us don't have reasons. We have excuses. Right? The purpose of the church is to come together to build one another up. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but we are to meet together to encourage one another. And he says, even more and more as you see the day approaching. Now, what's the day he's talking about? He's talking about Jesus' return. Why is that important? Because for a lot of folks, church is just the last thing on the list. I got this to do, that to do, wash the car, clean the cat, clean the oven, mop the floor. I got all these things to do. And if I have time, then I'll go to church. Right? Is that how we're supposed to be? Because if you ask me, and this is my personal opinion, I think we're closer now than we ever have before when Jesus returns. So as believers, and we know that day is approaching, getting closer and closer, I'm not predicting the day. It might be today, might be tomorrow, might be 10,000 years from now. But I know the day is getting closer, and the world seems to me to be getting more and more wicked. Satan doing everything he can to draw Christians away. He's trying to get us to falter on our commitment to our Lord and Savior, and to his body, which is the church of Christ. We're encouraged. But Paul goes on to say there must be factions among you. That there were people who were on the wrong side. These people were doing the wrong things. They were causing division among the church. Romans 16, verses 17 and 18. This is what Paul says. He says, now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause what? Divisions and contrary to the doctrine which you learn, and do what?
Avoid them.
For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own what? And by smooth words and flattering speech, deceive the hearts of the simple. You see, Paul says to know them and to avoid them. Solomon, Proverbs 6:19. He says, a false witness who speaks lies and one who sows discord among the brethren. Now you say, well, what's all that mean? These are the abominations that God hates. For somebody to come into church and cause division and disunity within the body of Christ is an abomination to the Lord. Mm-hmm. I don't care who you are, who your mom and daddy was, who your aunt and uncle was, or your grandparents, or your kids, or your cousins, or your nephews, or your brothers and your sisters. I don't care who's who. Whoever causes division among the body of Christ is in serious trouble with God. Because you not only hurt the body of Christ, you hurt the reputation of the church, the body of Jesus Christ, to whom we are to be a witness to the whole world. And if we're arguing, fussing, and griping, what picture does that paint to those outside these church walls? Is it a picture of Christ or is it a picture of Satan? I got to say what's on my mind. Tell it to Jesus. We sing that song, amen? Tell it to Jesus. You see, I can picture this happening with the church at Corinth and Paul hearing of what's been going on. I can remember this is a letter. Paul's not actually there, but he's being told what's going on. And he says, I hear that there are factions and divisions. I mean, in other words, there were some people who were doing wrong, but there was also some people who were doing right, okay? Because that's how you know there's a difference. And Paul says, listen, just picture this today. If everybody got here early this morning, say 8 o'clock, and you brought you a pot full of whatever, a pan full of something, and a cake, and ice cream, and tea, and you said, man, I'm hungry. I'm going to go ahead and eat now. Before anybody else gets here, and you eat everything you brought, and then somebody else brings something in, and you go ahead and eat it too, and drink it too. And by the time everybody gets here, there's nothing left back there. Y'all would be fighting mad about 12:30, wouldn't you? See, it was like having dinner on the ground, but while the church service was going on, and they were coming together to do the Lord's Supper. When they got back there to do the regular supper, there was nothing there. But these people were being singled out on purpose because they were poor, they were slaves, they were new converts who really didn't know any better. But the people who did know better were the ones who were committing the offenses to the non-believers and the new believers. So Paul tells us in verse 19, that there were some who were approved. In other words, their actions, what they were doing was right. They were serving the Lord. They were doing it with the right heart, with the right attitude. That they were serving us. They were being the witness Christ called them to be. But Paul, in verse 22, calls them out. And he says, do you not have houses? Could you imagine Paul saying, see, I picture Paul as being this little man. I don't know how tall he is. But have you ever seen somebody who acts like a banana rooster? That's kind of how I picture Paul. You know, I don't think he was very big in stature. I think he was kind of a small man. But he had a big personality, right? And I think he would get in the face of anybody to call them out if they were doing wrong. And Paul just simply said, listen, do you not have houses to eat and drink in? What are you doing? Do you despise the house of God? Why are you causing these problems? He wasn't afraid. And he said, do you want to shame these people? What benefit is shaming somebody? Right? Can you build walls by shaming somebody? You can. Walls that can never be torn down. One pastor friend of mine said it this way, and I don't know where I fall in between. He said, you catch a whole lot more flies with honey than you do with vinegar. See, sometimes I think I can be vinegar, but hopefully every now and then I can be honey too. I want to draw people to the Lord, but I also want to repel those things that don't belong here. Amen? That is our plan and purpose. And I said, you want to shame those. And he said, what shall I say to you? In other words, these are rhetorical questions. They're so evident they answer themselves. And he says, shall I praise you in this? Should I praise you for doing a bad thing? If you praise a child who is strong-headed, if you praise them and reward them for their actions and behavior, what are you going to keep on doing? You're going to be in trouble. Amen? I'm not going to praise you in something that's wrong. And he said, I do not praise you. So Paul, he moves on. He doesn't dwell on a long time. He begins to re-instruct them on what they are supposed to do, on the purpose and the process of the Lord's Supper. In verses 23 through 26, he goes through them and tells them of the process. And then in verse 26, he tells us of the frequency of the Lord's Supper. Now, we do it every fifth Sunday, give or take. Sometimes I think Christmas Eve and maybe Easter, we do things a little bit. But the purpose is we do it once a quarter, mainly. Some churches do it once a month on the first or last Sunday. Some churches do it every Sunday. Which one's right? They all are. Okay? They all are. In other words, it doesn't matter how often you do it. But as we do it, remember that there's a purpose behind it, and that is that we proclaim the gospel. We do it for purpose, to remember what Jesus did for us. We celebrate what Jesus did for us. Because if it wasn't for the love, the grace, and mercy, the sacrifice of Jesus of himself on the cross for our sins that he died for and rose again on the third day, then we have nothing to celebrate. Right? We would have nothing to come together about as a body of believers. But even Jesus said, as often as you do this, or as the front of the table says, this do in remembrance of me, of Christ. That is what we're supposed to focus on, is Jesus. Not one another, but in him and on him. And as we do so, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. What does it mean? Well, the bread that we'll take of represents the body of Christ. That was the unblemished sacrificial lamb of God that was provided to us. As I think about this in John chapter 1, verse 29, as Jesus is walking down to the sea, John the Baptist is there baptizing other believers. And he stops what he's doing and he says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. John knew who Jesus was. John knew what Jesus' purpose was. And what Jesus would have to go through to become the sacrificial lamb to take away our sins. The juice that we'll take of, and one day we'll do a thing on why we as Baptists don't drink real wine, okay? Y'all might throw me out of here. I don't know what you practice at home, but we ain't practicing that in church. We're going to take of the juice, amen? But we'll talk about that and why we choose to do juice and not real wine as some denominations do. The blood represents the forgiveness of sin. Hebrews 9:22 tells us that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. In other words, there's no forgiveness of sin. If Jesus had never shed his blood for us, you and I couldn't be saved. Our sins couldn't have been taken care of. Our sins could never be forgiven. You see, when Jesus died on the cross for our sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, he gave his life, his body, his blood, so that you and I could be forgiven, so that you and I could live forever with the Lord. He did that for you and I because he loved us. See, there's a word, it's a big word, it's kind of hard to say, propitiation. It means that somebody, because the wages of sin is death, eternal separation from God. We know everyone's a sinner, right? We can accept every one of us has sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. But at the same time, God provided a way through his Son. Romans 6:23, this is not it. Says, for the wages of sin is death. That death means eternal separation from God. We've earned that. That was our wages. That's what we get paid if we don't trust in Jesus Christ. But then the second half of that verse says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, God paid a way through his Son for us to be forgiven. Paid the price on the cross to set us free. And that word propitiation means that the wrath of God, the wrath I deserve, the wrath you deserve if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that wrath of God has to be poured out on somebody. I don't know what that was. Might be meaning hurry up, right? But the wrath of God had to be poured out. And you can choose, right? You can choose. You can choose to take that punishment on yourself and the wrath of God will be poured out on you. Or you could choose the wrath that God made for us. And that he sent his one and only Son to be the sacrifice for your sins and for my sins and for the sins of everyone who put their faith and trust in him. That word propitiation, I keep coming back to it, it means to appease the wrath of God. Right? But not only that, it appeases the wrath of God that through Christ, the punishment was placed on him, thereby allowing God's love, his righteousness, his justification to be placed on us. Paul goes on to say in verse 28 that we need to be careful of taking the Lord's Supper. Hear me out, parents with young children. When we take the Lord's Supper, if your child has not trusted in Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior and made a public profession of that, being publicly baptized, don't let them take that, okay? If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I don't care if you're 5 years old, 50 years old, or 105 years old. If you've not placed your faith and trust in Jesus and followed through with believer's baptism, don't take the Lord's Supper. That's what Paul's saying. He tells us to examine ourselves. How do we do that? Well, I think we need to examine ourselves to, number one, see if we have a faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Is it real? If it's never changed you, it may not be real. You understand what I'm saying? Because if we're in Christ, we are a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. We are a new creature in Christ. And if there's never been a change, well, maybe you haven't never trusted in Christ. Maybe you're trusting in your own self. But let me give you another example. We need to first examine ourselves, see whether we're in faith. But we also need to examine ourselves to see if there is any unconfessed sin in our lives. Is there something you're holding out on God? Some sin you know He's convicting you of, but you try to justify? I'm good. I'm saved, once saved, always saved. Yeah, that may be true, and is true. I can never break my relationship with God the Father. I can never break my relationship with God. Once I'm in Christ, I'm always in Christ. But I can sure break the fellowship with God. And what causes that? It's sin. It's sin that it's unconfessed. We know we do it and keep on doing it. We do it so much it don't even bother us. We need to confess that sin to the Lord and turn from it. So we're to examine ourselves. Let me give you a couple of things real quick. Number one, it's a time to remember who I was before Christ. Do you remember who you were before Christ? For some of us, we were saved at such a young age, maybe that we don't, you know, we were always made to do what's right, so we did that. We need to remember who we were. Maybe we were saved at 16, 13, 25, who knows. We're saved and we can look back and say, man, that's who I used to be. That's who I was before Christ. But as I examine myself, I examine and I remember the price that Jesus paid for my sin, that He took that on Himself, and I remember what He has done for me. But I also need to examine myself and say, who am I now in Christ? That Brother Tim brought out Sunday school this morning about reading the Bible and why it is so important for us. And it is true, because when we grasp what God has done for us, we are bold, emboldened in our faith that, hey, what has happened in the past, God has brought me from here to here. And if He's brought me from there to here, guess where He's going to keep on running me from? But I need to be in His will. I need to be obeying what He has called me to do and leading me to do. But as I mentioned a minute ago, we also need to examine ourselves and confess the sin in our lives. And you say, why is that important? Why is that important? Well, can I say this according to 1 Corinthians chapter 11? This part is not optional, okay? Confessing of sin is not optional before taking the Lord's Supper. It's a time to examine ourselves, to see if there's sin in our lives, to confess our sins to God, and confess our sins to each other. And I'm not saying to stand up here and tell everybody you're dirty laundry. That's not what I'm saying. But if you got something against somebody, guess what? You get it right. You need to get it right. It's important. How many of you as children, when your mama was in there in the kitchen cooking, y'all remember them days? Now it's all microwave dinners. I'm just joking. Mama's in there cooking and you're out in the yard playing. When it was supper time, what did she tell you to do? She didn't just say, come in and sit down at the table and start eating. She said, you better get in there and clean up first. You know, it's the same way with the Lord's Supper. And Paul's kind of calling us to do the same thing. He said, before you take of the Lord's Supper, you need to clean up. You need to wash up. Why is it important? Because there's a consequence of taking the Lord's Supper in a way that is unworthy of the blood and body of Jesus Christ. Paul gives us some examples real quick. Number one, there's weakness. Weakness in the body of Christ. Weakness in a physical sense from a human standpoint. The word weakness here is to be in a extended period of after sickness. You ever had the flu and you wiped out for a week and a half or so, and it seemed like it takes you 2 months to recover? Amen. Y'all know what I'm saying? Because you're weak. But Paul said one of the reasons, because you take the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. He goes on to say that some are sick. This is meaning without help, unable to move speedily. Now, I don't know. The older I get, the harder it is to move. I don't know. But and then he says that some have fallen asleep. Used in this context, those words "fallen asleep" mean to die a premature death. So, well, that sounds pretty serious. Well, taking the Lord's Supper is serious business, and it should be serious business for us. So we need to examine ourselves. Paul, I believe, would say, listen, give yourself three tests. Number one, are you a child of God? Can you truly say today that I belong to Jesus and he belongs to me? Can you truly say that I am a child of God? I place my faith and trust in Christ and Christ alone and what the work he did, his body, his blood, his resurrection. Can I truly claim that I bought into the fact that Jesus wants to save me? Have I believed him? Number two, as we go into a time of invitation in just a moment, is there any unconfessed sin in your life? You deal with God? Maybe it would be time to forgive one another, confess our sins to each other. Number three, are we right with God and right with one another? Can't be the body of Christ if we're not being who he calls us to be. In just a moment, I'm going to ask Carol to come up here and Miss Sissy when she comes to play. I want us to just take time. I'm going to ask Brother Harold if he'll sing through a couple stanzas of the hymn song. But here's what I want. I want us as individuals to pray and ask God to examine our hearts and lives. We're not going to sing out loud, okay? I'm going to ask Harold to sing. But I want us to take time to examine our own hearts and lives. I want us to take time to examine and say, God, forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Lord, have your way in my heart and life. And Lord, if there's anything I don't see, Lord, forgive me for that. Make me aware of it. But maybe this is also an opportunity for us to get right with the Lord, but also to get right with others. God's willing to forgive us. But he also tells us in 1 John, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Paul wants us to examine ourselves. What do you need to confess today? Will you stand with me? Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, Lord, before we take the Lord's Supper, the bread and the juice, Lord, we ask you just to examine us, every part of us, from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet and everywhere in between. Lord, we open up every closet, every drawer, Lord, to allow your Holy Spirit to come into our lives and inspect us. Lord, to show us where we're right, show us where we're wrong. And Lord, as we come before you, we confess that we are sinners. We need a Savior. And that's the most important decision to get right today. Lord, if we have unconfessed sin in our lives, Lord, to show us, to make us plainly aware of those areas, Lord, that are not pleasing to you. Lord, if there's something between us and someone else, Lord, help us to get right in those areas as well. Whether they go to us or we come to them, Lord, you help us make that decision. Lord, I pray that as we take the Lord's Supper today, we will all come before you with clean hands, clean hearts, clean minds, clean souls. Lord, that our life is in tune with your will and your way. Lord, lead us and guide us. If you need to come to the altar is open. If you need to trust Jesus, come to the altar. Come talk to me. If you need to go to somebody else, go to them. Amen. Brother Harold, you sign through a couple.